This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today, 9 December, is International Anti-Corruption Day, which the United Nations describes as being criminal, immoral, and the ultimate betrayal of public trust, and worsened by the pandemic, which has offered new ways to exploit weak oversight and inadequate transparency. To discuss Malaysia's favourite topic, we welcome Dr. Mohamed Muan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. Gentlemen, let's begin constructively and get a view of the current situation. Dr. Mohan, you were here precisely 365 days ago on precisely the same day. And what a year it's been, right? How would you rate the current PN government's anti-corruption agenda? And has there been a positive change?
Okay, thank you very much for having me here. As far as when you see the new PN government has come in, now, of course, when they came into power, they didn't have any manifesto, they didn't make any promises. So if you compare with the previous government of Pakatan Harapan, they came with a lot of reform agenda and promises in the manifesto, and therefore they were under severe scrutiny from the public. You know, so when they don't deliver, there is a lot of noise from the public and so on. But in the case of PN government, when they came into power, they did not have that kind of pressure. Nevertheless, the Prime Minister actually sits in the... he chairs the JAKMA, the Jabatan Kuasa Khas Anti Rasuah. So he is well aware because he was in the previous government. So from that perspective, he has given his commitment that fighting corruption will still be a top agenda for him. But on the other hand, the reality on the ground could be a little bit different because in the last 11 months, we have not seen a significant push in terms of fighting against corruption. Unlike the previous government, Pakatan Harapan, they had constant updates, especially even on the NACP. There was update every quarterly or so from the former Prime Minister who gave an update, you know, how many initiatives have been done. So in that sense, things have not really moved very much from the public perspective. Of course, as we know, recently with the acquittal of on the high-profile cases of people like Riza Aziz, Dato' Musa, Aman, and recently, 2 days ago, the former Federal Territory Minister, you know, was given a discharge not amounting to acquittal. Of course, this is all there could be reasons for this from the AG's chambers or the judiciary, but public perception is public perception. That's how they look at it. And this is proven in our recent global corruption barometer, that survey that was done. And the findings were 71% of Malaysians find that government corruption is a big problem. So this is where we are today. And that sums up the whole thing to say that the government has to do more to bring back the confidence and also push for fighting against corruption.
Yeah, of course, that's stating the obvious more than clearly. We will be discussing those cases in greater detail in a few minutes. But let's move on to you, YB, YB Wong. Now, the Public Accounts Committee, as you were very vocal in pointing out, had been in hibernation since March. They were pleased to the House Speaker, Art Harun, to appoint its members even to and allow it to meet, none of which happened until, I think, very recently at least. What happened there? And what's the latest?
Okay. Very good morning to everyone. So about PAC, our members were appointed on the 2nd of November after this parliament session resumes. And since 2nd of November, we have had meetings every day in the morning and in the afternoon. The main purpose, of course, is to clear all the backlogs that we were having in the past 8 months, where PAC had gone into hibernation after the change of government. So, of course, in the past 4 or 5 weeks, we have managed to clear 80% of our backlogs. We have listened to the Auditor General reports, the Auditor General on their Auditor General reports in 2019 and 2018. And we have also go into some of the cases, some of the high-profile cases. We have started proceedings on the land swap matter by MINDEF, which happened from early 2000 to year 2018, there was a long stretch of 20 years. We have also gone into cases like AES, the Automatic Enforcement System, whereby we see that the government, the then government, has given the contract to some companies, and eventually there was a indirect build up by the government. So these are some of the works that we are going. And of course, in terms of handling the issues of misuse of powers or corruptions, we play our role in the as a legislative arm, whereby I think as far as the PAC is concerned, apart from the issues that are stated in the Auditor General report, we actually take cases outside the Auditor General report. And that's how we try to progress day by day, and we try to improve our functionings and effectiveness every day.
So the data is overwhelming, rather from the barometers that you talk about, Mohan, from the hibernation that you suffered, and of course the findings from the Auditor General's report. The last 12 months has been a poor report card, one must say, on the corruption and transparency front. That's manifested in the ratings agency Fitch, the downgrade of the country's bonds. And they also say a material part of their decision came because of the lack of a majority government in power, which then hurt the ability for structural reform on the governance front, despite what the governments have been saying, right? So what is the way forward? I mean, let's just put the question in a different way, Mohan, right? Do you think the government has taken on board the gravity of the situation in terms of the country's finances, which are very, very fragile at this point in time, because the world is looking, and the world is looking on with a lens that says, you haven't done enough?
Yes, I think what the government need to do is take this corruption, global corruption barometer seriously. The Fitch downgrade of the rating is also another factor. And come January 28th, we will be releasing the CPI, the Corruption Perception Index. That's another very important barometer. As you know, in 2019, Malaysia made a dramatic recovery in its score and also its ranking. We moved 10 places up. Now, these kind of numbers don't lie, because when you make an effort for reforms, naturally it's translated to the results. And that's one of the reasons why the score improved in 2019. Now, the question is, what's going to happen in 2020? So we will know within a month what's going to happen. But I think what the government should do is they have to recognize that the findings that civil societies and other groups of people who do surveys and so on, they should take this seriously, and they should engage with the NGOs and also go to the root of the problem. Let me just take you a little bit to the NACP, which I mentioned earlier. The NACP is a wonderful document put by not many had the impression that it was crafted by the opposition now or those days, Pakatan Harapan. But that is not true. Maybe there are some initiatives inside there that they wanted to push because it was in their manifesto. A bulk of it was actually crafted by NGOs, the private sector, and many government officials were involved. So it's a document very useful for the government. And what they should do is push for those initiatives to actually being implemented.
Why don't they do that?
I have a feeling that after the collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government, the priorities seems to have shifted. So what I would say that the government should continue, regardless of whichever government comes into power, they should use this document. They can actually refine this document that every 3 years there could be a midterm review and you can do an update. But do not dump this document, because inside this document, all the reforms are already stipulated by when, what you should do, and so on.
Yes, and Doc, I mean, offline, a few minutes ago before the interview started, you told me that access to ministers in the new government has been severely curtailed and very different from the previous government. It seems as if all these documents and recommendations and action plans are falling on deaf ears. And it seems as if the emphasis on the government is being staying in power and consolidating power, not about getting cleaner.
Yes, what I find that it's compared to the previous government, the current government should actually be more open to see, especially the civil societies. We are not here to make it difficult for anybody. We are here to help the government in whatever way we could, you know. So we hope that ministers could give us more time. Perhaps I think they are occupied with more other pressing political issues. But I think this is an area that I think the all the ministers in various agencies should actually give attention to this.
Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, with me live on an anti-corruption panel marking today, December 9th, International Anti-Corruption Day. We'll come back after this, gentlemen, and talk about those three cases of DNAs that we mentioned previously, as well as other wider issues. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, with me live on the anti-corruption panel, marking today being International Anti-Corruption Day. Now, gentlemen, two high-profile incidents this week appear to knock back Malaysia's anti-corruption plans as we were discussing the High Court's discharge not amounting to an acquittal of the former FT Minister Tunku Anan on his $1 million corruption case, and Tan Sri Anwar Musa's signing of a support letter for an UMNO linked company to develop part of a nearly 9 billion ringgit a highway in his constituency. YB Wong, these are obviously transgressions involving public projects and involving, of course, public accounts. You have talked about many things, you know, the last few minutes, including with MINDEF and other ministries. How is it that year in, year out, these incidents occur and the Public Accounts Committee appears to be less efficacious in terms of spotting these and preventing these things from happening?
Okay, thank you. And of course, if we talk about the DNAA for Tunku Anan, I personally would feel that the AGs need to give a clarification and need to give an explanation as to the reason why the DNAA was granted. Because all those high-profile cases, be it the earlier cases of Rizal Aziz or Anwar Musa, or even now happening a few days ago, Tunku Adnan, is not only catches the eyes of the Malaysians, but it will have a global impact on Malaysia. So the AGs is duty-bound to give a full explanation over the matter.
Do you think he will? Because, I mean, Professor James Chin of the University of Tasmania pointed out that DNAAs are very common in Malaysia. And oftentimes, in fact, much more often than not, the AG Chambers never gives a reason for the new developments or the new factual findings. They are very opaque about this issue.
How
can you at the PAC make things change?
Okay. At the end of the day, the AG will need to act, and there need to be public pressure to go about the matter. And of course, if we look at the Tunku Adnan's matter, on the it all relates to the DBKL land sale in the past 10 to 12 years. And the PAC had actually had our proceedings like since 1.5 years ago. And we have tabled a report 3 weeks ago. At that time, we had never go into the matters involving Tunku Anan because it was pending in court. And of course, PAC will now have to rethink and relook at the issue, whether we should go into it in view of the DNA granted. So that is one. And secondly, of course, on Anwar Musa's supporting letter, I think this is something, sadly to say, is something very common in Malaysia and it shouldn't happen. And a lot of times in PAC, we have seen that there were ministers writing letters to the Prime Minister or the Finance Minister for special approvals for awarding project through direct negotiation instead of open tender. We have seen the support letters from the ministers from some of the ministers regarding some of the projects or some of the companies. And in fact, we during our PAC proceedings, we always request from the ministry for the copy of the letters. And I have personally seen in one of the cases I can quote here, in a report of a route charge and vehicle entry permit
these things done. Keep on happening and happening over and over again. It just seems to be a repetition of past common practices. this has to stop. How does the PAC tooth up and get more efficacious in dealing with corruption?
Yeah, definitely. On this part, what the PAC will do and can do is we need to be to have more bites on the recommendations that we have we made.
Why? What is preventing that?
Yeah, definitely. We are trying our best to do that. There is nothing to prevent us from doing so. But one of the issues that we are facing is the PAC do not have enforcement power.
How does that change?
We can only recommending to the enforcement agencies to do their works. Just like in the case of RC, route charge and vehicle entry permits that I have pointed out just now, we have made a recommendation for the MSCC to go into that. And again, we do not know whether the MSCC will go into that. We have made certain changes to our procedures whereby we will be calling all those respective parties, especially in this case, the MSCC, to give us a briefing, to give us a feedback within 2 months' time. And from there, we will be calling the MSCC to answer as to, look, we have investigated into this matter and we found
okay.
that
so
we,
you
need,
can
we need to go into
you,
that.
You can recommend to the MSCC or the AG's chambers to
we
pass
always,
charge?
Okay. We always recommend them to do an investigation.
And do they?
And of course, they will have to do. And again, MSCC officers actually sits in PAC as our ex-official.
But the only entity that can press charges in this country are the AG's chambers.
Yeah, it's the AG's chambers. And of course, that is within the prerogative of the AG's.
Mohan, does this differ in other jurisdictions? Are other entities in other jurisdictions, say a Singapore or a Hong Kong, are they allowed to press charges other than the AG's chambers? And should that change?
In some countries, I can't be very specific. I don't have the information right now. But in some countries, there is a separation of power between the investigation enforcement unit and also the AG's chambers. In fact, at one time, there was a big push for the MSCC to have prosecution power. But for some reason, MSCC itself were not in favor of this. And this is something that it should be revisited.
Why do you think they were not in favor of that?
I believe they felt that this is an area that best for the AG's chambers to handle it and so on. But in the case like the DNA AA given to the former federal territory minister, you see, when the case was thrown back to MSCC to investigate, there was no discussion with them. So I believe MSCC was caught surprised by this. And I think now they are going to, they have issued a statement, they want to go ahead and investigate. So I think there is a gap here. And this is a big concern. And I agree with YB Wong that the AG has to explain, you know, why this has been done, because this case is of public interest.
It's International Anti-Corruption Day, and on the grill with us live is Dr. Mohamed Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. So, gentlemen, if we now know that the AG's chambers is not necessarily doing their job properly, shouldn't the country then focus on legislating one way or alternative avenues for charges to be pressed outside of the AG's chambers, or to compel the AG's chambers to honestly do its job?
Yes, for us, we have been advocating this for a long time, that, you know, the MSCC should be given prosecution power. But this is an area that we should revisit again, looking at what has been happening now. And this is something that we have to re-examine this. This has been quietened for some time. And I think I agree with you that we should look at this.
Okay, yeah. YB, anything to add?
Yes. On the power of AGC, definitely it is under the provision of a federal constitution. And of course, one of the methods that can improve the whole situation is to make the AG responsible to the parliament instead of not responsible to anyone at the moment. And
one more time?
Yeah, to make the AG responsible to the parliament. That means...
You mean it's not right now?
Definitely it's not right now.
So who's the AG's chambers responsible to?
Definitely the AG chambers, of course, are appointed by the Yang Di Pertuan Agong. And at the end of the day, the AG will be responsible to the government of the day now. So that is the problem that we are facing. But of course, the government of the day will have majority in the parliament. So that is another different story all about. And of course, one of the most important thing is on the appointment of the AG chambers. On the appointment of the AGs. During the Pakatan Harapan's time, we still remember there is a parliamentary committee going into the appointments, responsible for the appointments of the top posts like MACCs and AGs and so on. And of course, then there was once where when Latifah Koya was appointed as MACC chief, the parliamentary committee wasn't consulted and there was a big uproar. I think we can actually improve from there to make parliament have more scrutiny power, has more check and balance power over this matter.
There's a lot of woulds and shoulds and coulds in Malaysia, right? It would be better if, or there could be. We've heard those terms being used ad infinitum the last 30 to 40 years. Nothing has changed. Malaysia is perceptively as what it once used to be and still is and will continue to be unless those words become law and legislation. Dr. Mohan, you're nodding your head vigorously. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a strong feeling on these issues. At the end of the day, whatever we are discussing today, it's for the betterment of Malaysia. Now, I fully agree with you that, you know, these ifs and buts and coulds and possible and so on will not take us anywhere. What we need is political will. It has to start from the leadership.
We've heard that phrase many times before as well. It's called political will.
Correct. Yeah.
We know the meaning of it. We haven't seen any of it, though.
Yes, but the issue here is if you don't have that, then I don't think we're going to get anywhere. Now, I just want to take us back 2 years before when the PH government came into power. Because, as I said, they came with a reform agenda and they came with a very clear manifesto. So they were held to account for whatever they have promised. And, of course, we all know that all the promises made, not everything was delivered. We understand that. But at the same time, there was also some areas that they pushed for reforms. And you saw the results. If you look at the CPI results that came out in 2019, the results show by itself that when you push for reforms and have support for democracy, the results will come by itself. So the political will is very important. Now, I understand what you're saying, that, you know, you have been hearing this all the time. And only when people change, leadership have that will, then you can see change. If not, we are not going to see any change.
Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, with me on an anti-corruption panel, today being International Anti-Corruption Day. Gentlemen, let's break for news and then come back and continue our vigorous discussion. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Dr. Mohamad Mohan of Transparency International Malaysia and YB Wong Kar Wah of the Public Accounts Committee on the grill this morning, today being International Anti-Corruption Day. Now, Mohan, let's start with you again, yeah? The three very high-profile acquittals of politicians and politicians' children in the Malaysia so far this year, beyond the enforcement capabilities of the entities or beyond the limited enforcement capabilities of our people, the judiciary also bears mentioning because there appeared at one time in the not-too-distant past that there was more balance and more impartiality in the judiciary. This indicates that no such thing is happening anymore. Do you agree?
Well, I wouldn't want to agree here because we have to actually respect the judiciary, the decisions and so on. What we are saying is all this acquittal, there must be a proper explanation on this. Because when they don't explain, public perception is skewed towards a direction where they think that the government is actually interfering in these things. It appears to be that way. So I would say that, as what we earlier said this morning, that in the case of this happening, there must be some explanation from the AG's chambers that what was the reason behind it, give some rationale behind it so that the public can understand, they can appreciate better.
Well, the fear among the people is that the biggest fish remain charged in the courts, namely former Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib and, of course, Zahid Hamidi as well. The concern is that they might too be beneficiaries of such discharges not amounting to acquittals. If that happens, let's rewind a little bit, Mohan. Are you concerned that this might also occur?
Well,
behind the veil of opacity?
I think many Malaysians, when you talk today to the general public, they all have this concern. They all have this concern that these high-profile cases, at the end, they will all be acquitted. That's what people talk about. But I would say that we still have faith in our judiciary system, and we should wait for the outcome. Like in the case of the former Prime Minister, he was already convicted at the High Court level, and he's making an appeal, and we should allow that due process to take place.
We're talking about Prime Ministers past and current, and also public accounts, YB Wong. Now, asset declarations, they have occurred, especially now that you can go to the website to check asset declarations. The interesting thing is quite a few of the ministers have net worths well in excess of 10 to 15 million ringgit. In some cases, like the corporate guys, like Tunku Zafrul, you can kind of explain it. But for the career politicians whose salaries have been reasonably meagre in the past, also, such as Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, have net worths well in excess of 15 million ringgit. Don't you think there should be more scrutiny and more explanation required of the senior ministers of how they got their wealth?
The whole thing about asset declaration came into picture back in 2018. And of course, there is a huge difference whereby during the Pakatan Harapan's time, we had actually declared each and single cent and published it on the websites. And the latest one by the Perikatan National Government is only confined to the range of the wealth that they are having. And when we talk about the wealth of the ministers, of the deputies, of the MPs, I think, firstly, to me, benefit of doubt should be given since everything is published. And at the end of the day, it is subject to the scrutiny, not only by the authority, but also by the public themselves. Let the public judge.
How can civil servants, career civil servants, acquire wealth well in excess of 15 million ringgit on a government salary?
If there is any query over the matter, that is all for either Tan Sri Muhyiddin or any of the MPs, any of the deputies, minister or minister to explain about that. So if there is a query, so let them explain on that.
Mohan, you're about to say something?
On that topic, one of the fundamental issue in Malaysia we face is we don't have a proper law on beneficial ownership. And that is one of the problem. And like in the UK, there is an order called Unexplained Wealth Order. So if the Inland Revenue or in HMRC in the UK, they can actually raise a query on an individual to ask you to explain. And there is a provision in the law, if you cannot explain, they have power for confiscation. Now, we don't have such kind of law. You know, so that is why SSM, the Companies Commission of Malaysia, they have issued a guideline on beneficial ownership. So in a company, anything more than, if I'm not wrong, it's about anything more than 20% equity, you have to actually declare who are the owners and so on. But keep in mind, it is still a guideline. It has not become a law or anything that mandates companies to do that. So this is something that we, even as a civil society, we are actually advocating for this. There must be some legislation on this so that these companies, whoever who owns these companies, they actually declare their assets.
Well, there's a clear fiscal victim from this in terms of the country's finances, and clearly manifested by the Fitch downgrade. In the light of these cases, Tan Sri Jamaluddin judges, his estate was valued in the billions. That was unexplained. Of course, Dato Sri Najib's tax bill, well over a billion ringgit. How did he procure such income to be taxed to that quantum? Don't you think that day must come when we must have these orders in place to ensure that if there is no explanation which is reasonable, then something has to be done?
Yes, I fully agree. That is why if you don't mandate, people don't want to declare. Like you see, if you go to the website of the MPs today, they have declared their assets in a range, like what YB Wong has said. But that's not what we want. If it's more than 10 million, it could be anywhere from 10 million to 100 million. So what we want here is an exact declaration of your wealth. That is one. The second thing is, going back to your question, how did you acquire this kind of wealth as a public official? If you're a businessman and you have come into politics, we understand that. You can explain. But if you are a public official from an MP, you became a minister and so on, and if you could accumulate wealth up to 100 million, then I think you owe the public an explanation.
Okay, gentlemen, we've got a couple of short minutes. And it is December, so it is near the end of the year and we're going to enter a new year. And hopefully new beginnings and a new start for everybody. let's have a wish list. Public Accounts Committee, right? Obviously, your role, YB, is not easy. And it's also fiscally thankless because you don't get paid for this job, right?
Yeah.
What is the one thing you would want to change in your role as chairman for 2021? First you, then you, Mohan. What you want to see change in the country?
Okay, for year 2021, what I hope that... For year 2021, what I hope for it is for the hearing of the public committee, public account committee, to be made public, because there is huge legal impediment now preventing us from divulging any of the minutes of the proceedings or even the evidence adduced during the proceedings to public prior to the report is tabled. So,
and what would affect that change?
Of course, that will enhance the transparency.
No, what would make that happen?
Okay, we need to do two things. Number one, we need to amend the standing order. That is in the hands of the speaker. I have been talking to the speaker.
Do you think the speaker, Art Harun, will do that?
Art Harun is positive about this. I'm still talking to him on this. I hope it could happen. And of course, during Tan Sri Arif time, what I was informed was that the... Standing Order Committee has already in principle agreed. And again, it takes time to maneuver, it takes time to implement. So I need to keep on pushing.
Okay, last word belongs to you, Doc.
Okay, for me, before we tackle the problem of corruption, first thing, we need political stability. I would wish that all politicians, regardless of whichever political parties you are, we are at a crossroad. The economy is down. The suffering of the people due to the pandemic has really brought us down. And I would urge all politicians to put their political ideology aside and work together, both opposition and also the ruling parties, come together and put corruption as top of your agenda. And you will see the results. Trust me.
Okay, well, gentlemen, thank you for your thoughts and for your wish lists. I was talking to Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the President of Transparency International Malaysia, and YB Wong Kar Wah, the Chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, joining us live on a panel marking today, December 9th, being International Anti-Corruption Day, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.